Christians to Worship and the Study of God's Word. This is today's Modern Worship on WMIE FM 91.5.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good morning to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to WMIE on this glorious Friday. You know what that means. It's my day off. That means I am looking forward to it, excited that I get to catch my breath, get some projects done around the house, and just basically do something fun if I want to. So hope you are having a great day. Welcome to the Refresh Radio Program. My name's Bob Arthurs. We're going to spend the next half hour with you talking about what happens when God breathes into our world. And so we've talked about several aspects that it changes the atmosphere. It brings international change. It removes the wicked. We've talked about that he breathes upon the word of God, that it's God-inspired, God-breathed upon, that God breathed into man the breath of life, that he Jesus breathed on the disciples so that they would receive the Holy Spirit. And today we're going to be in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, because there's a few verses here that have a lot of truth. We could probably camp here a lot longer than we ordinarily are going to have available to us today. So get your shovel, turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and do some digging at your earliest opportunity. So we're going to begin reading at verse number 5, and Paul writes to the Thessalonian church and he said, "Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the work of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." So just for context sake, let me go up and read the first four verses of chapter 2. And it says, "Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Let no one deceive you by any means, nor for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first. And the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." So we have him identified as the man of lawlessness. We have him, or the lawless one. We have him identified as the man of sin, the son of perdition, and the one who opposes and exalts himself above everything that is called God. So there is a spiritual dynamic that would oppose the things of God, and it will ultimately manifest in the personification of evil in a concentration that this world has never seen before. And we've seen some serious manifestations of evil. There are people who have done demonic and horrific, horrible things. But we are still in a day of grace. We're still in a day where we can call upon the name of the Lord. Verse number 6 describes that that the Thessalonians, and now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. So there is a what that is restraining. If you drop down a little bit to verse number 7, you'll see only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. So there is a what, there is a he, there is a multifaceted force of restraint that is preventing the lawless one from being revealed. That means that at some point in time, he's going to be disclosed. I want you to understand that there could be his presence on the scene, but him ultimately not be manifest or recognized for the horrific person that he actually is. So he could be on the scene already and us not know it. The thing to remember here is that there is a third factor that is keeping him restrained, and that is God has a timeline, God has a plan, and no matter how lawless, not recognizing the authority of law or not recognizing any authority in his life, God's time still rules and still prevents him from being revealed until God says that it is perfect time. So, you know, when it comes to the timeline of God, I am thankful that you and I are not misplaced in time. We are strategically placed in time because God created good works for us to do before the foundation of the world. Jesus was born in the fullness of time. He was born at the perfect time. There is a day in which Jesus is going to return, and that day will not come until the Father leans over to Jesus and says, "Today is the day." Anybody who sets a timeline and says, "Look, he's coming on this day," just automatically disqualify them from being able to speak authoritatively in your life, because the Bible says no one knows the day nor the hour. And I've had people say, it doesn't mean that you can't know the week or the month or the year or the season. You know what? I just want to know Jesus. If we keep our eyes on Jesus, if we keep serving him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, if we keep walking in obedience, whenever Jesus returns, it's going to be a sudden and quick transformation, and it won't be anything to dread. It will be something to embrace. So the God who set the timeline for all of those things also sets a timeline where Satan is going to be bound and thrown in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. And there's going to be a millennial reign of Christ on the earth, and it's going to be absolutely glorious. You don't want to miss it for the world. Those events on God's timeline also keep this person of wickedness, the son of destruction, restrained until it is his time and his hour. And so I pray that that brings you some comfort as to the fact that God is still the one in control of the timeline. Verse number 7 says, "For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work." Lawlessness is not just going to appear on the scene when the Antichrist shows up. So he is anti-Messiah. He is anti-Messiah. the anointed one of God. He does not operate from the anointing of God. Here it says the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. The spirit of Antichrist is already operating in the world. It's just not reached that personified concentration yet. And here the word work comes from the Greek word energeo. It is the word from which we get energy. I would like to ask you, where does the strength, where does the energy come from that causes you to be able to do the things that you do? It most certainly doesn't come from yourself. It comes from one of two places. It either comes from God for godly purposes, or it comes from the enemy who has a very evil, destructive power about him. We don't want to operate that way. But it says this mystery of lawlessness, this secret, it's already working. It's just operating in the shadows. It's operating without a lot of people knowing what's going on. The purpose is for the trap to be sprung at a certain point in time, and all of a sudden people that thought that the devil was their friend will be exposed as their enemy. All those people that thought that God was their enemy will suddenly discover that they've been deceived, and God all along was actually the lover of their souls. So it goes on and says, only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. I want to remind you again about God's authority. The enemy is never going to be successful in overpowering a spirit-led, spirit-empowered individual who's walking in godly obedience. God will many times take them out of the way. The Bible talks about that there was a society and they didn't realize that even though judgment was at the door, that many times God was taking the righteous out of harm's way before harm arrived. Now I will tell you this. Whenever the restraints are removed, be it the what, be it the who, when it is taken out of the way, things are going to deteriorate very, very quickly. We are seeing lawlessness operate to a greater degree all the time. The book of Judges talks about every man did what was right in his own eyes. And many times they did what was right in their own eyes, regardless of what that meant to other people around them. So we are dealing with people now who are not evaluating their actions, evaluating their belief systems, evaluating their identity. They're not basing those things on the law or science or fact or faith. They are basing it on what they feel and what is right in their own eyes. And if you do not agree with their perception, they have no problems becoming lawless and violent against you, because truth is always a threat to deception. It's always a threat to deception. That's why I encourage people, tell the truth, live the truth. That way you don't have to worry about the last lie that you told and come up with a new lie to cover up the old lie. And I think there's a lot of things that go on the global stage that go on in the secret places, and people don't think that God knows about it. I wonder what would happen if the church would rise up in the spirit of holiness and say, God, we know this, that you are able. You've done it in the past. We believe that you're going to do it in the future, and we're asking you, would you do it now? Would you restrain and silence lawlessness in our day and time? Unless it is God's time and God's timeline, the church should be a restraining force of righteousness that prevents lawlessness from taking captive the souls that Jesus died to save. So, verse number 8 says, and then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be anywhere near the lawless one when God breathes. When God breathes, anarchy goes out the window and obedience comes in the door. It will not be a long, drawn-out battle. Men can drag things out. There's a battle in, or a war in history that's known as the 100-year war. That's a lot of generations. That can destroy whole cultures because you're constantly losing the inheritance that God has given to you. The battle with this lawless one, the Antichrist, it will not be a long, drawn-out battle. It will simply be with the breath of God coming, and he will be consumed, used up, completely eliminated at that point in time. He will no longer be a threat. So what does that do for your faith? For me, it tells me that if there's problems that have arisen in my life, I need God to breathe on into my life and into my situation, because that problem is not going to be able to stand up under the victorious and omnipotent breath or spirit of God. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan. There's that same word again. So when he does show up, he's not going to be working with the anointing of God, but with demonic power, with demonic activities that are going on. And there's going to be counterfeit power, counterfeit signs. There's going to be deceptive wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish. There are going to be people who see this lawless one operating with success and operating and accomplishing things that no one has seen in their lifetime, and they are going to be consumed with this deception. Here's the reason why. Because they did not receive the love of the truth. It doesn't say that the truth was not sent, for Jesus was sent. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Jesus is the manifestation of the love of God. 1 John reminds us repeatedly that God is love. But these people would rather reject this gift of love so that they could operate in accordance with what seems right to them instead of what is approved right by God. The receiving the love of the truth is very important because God made that available that they might be saved. Okay? So there are a lot of people who put the blame on God and say, how come we didn't get this, and how come we didn't get that? Well, many times there was the truth, there was the love that was available, and people refused to receive it. You will hear people say, I just can't believe that. Well, It's not that you can't, it's that you won't. There are people are constantly clamoring for more evidence and more evidence, and it doesn't matter how much evidence is accomplished. They're just unwilling to come to the place where they would say, I've been deceived. I've been lied to. Here's a personal confession for you. I hate being lied to. Hate it. So there is large quantities of the so-called news media that I will not even partake of because I hate being lied to, and I've seen them lie to me over and over and over again. And so if you want to do a little bit of examining and say, I wonder who Pastor Bob doesn't listen to, you just look and see, are they lying? And there are a lot of people that only feed at a certain well, and they think that that's truth. And even though the facts don't support it, they continue to partake of that same. I'm not that way. I'm not that way. So when people have lied, I look at them and say, you know what? That was intentional. That means they're liars. And if they lied to me over that, they will lie to me over something else. And so I refuse to believe them. Jesus never lies. Verse number 11 says that when people do not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved, that God sends them a strong delusion that they should believe the lie. There are people who are walking around right now absolutely 100% convinced that the truth is a lie and that a lie is the truth. And that's going to require a miracle from God in order to get them to believe the truth. What happens? What happens for people who have been swayed by this man of lawlessness and the anarchy and the secret of lawlessness being revealed? It says that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. If you go back to yesterday's program, I was in Isaiah chapter 11, and it was talking about Jesus who delighted himself in the fear of the Lord. This passage here, his delight is in the fear of the Lord. That was Isaiah chapter 11, verse number 3. Who did not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness, that word could also be translated delighted themselves in unrighteousness. Now, I want you to understand that when God sets parameters, when he issues commandments and he expresses his will, he's not doing that because he is up there detached and just making a capricious or arbitrary decision about what is accepted or unaccepted behavior. He knows the things that damage people who were created in the image of God for the glory of God, that they might walk in covenant with God. And God doesn't want you injured. He doesn't want you harmed. He doesn't want you miserable. He wants you holy. The things that I've seen since I became a pastor. I've been at Merit Assembly of God for 30 years. If you took the things that I saw in the first 20 years, I don't know that the things that I saw the challenges that I faced could come anywhere close to comparing to the pleasure that people are taking in unrighteousness over the last 10 years. You might even be able to shorten it down to the last 5 years. And folks, there are parts of the country that if I had kids, I would not live there, because the states have declared that they have more rights over your children than what you do, and they will silence you or create a criminal offense for you, and your children would end up walking in the darkest of darkness. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. Thank God for the church. Thank God for His Word. Thank God for men of God and women of God who are passionate about loving Him and worshiping Him and serving Him and reaching those people that Jesus wants to have a personal experience with the love of God, the love of truth, that they might be saved. Thank God for the restraints that God has put in place. You've heard the verse from the Old Testament, where there's no vision, the people perish. One version translated this way: where there is casting off of restraint, people perish. And God doesn't want you out there exposed and vulnerable all by yourself. He wants to be doing life together with you, but He wants to be first and foremost in your life. You shall have no other gods before Me. You know what? That directly contrasts with what this son of perdition, this man of sin, has, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. I tell people this, you should thank God that I'm not God. And I thank God I'm not God. And I thank God you're not God. I'm thankful that the God who sits on the throne is holy and just and wise and loving and compassionate. He is our fortress, our refuge, our strength. He is also the one who is protecting us and safeguarding us and restraining the enemy from having his way in your life. Today, I want you to know that with just one breath from God, the enemy of your soul could be dealt a horrific blow of defeat, and God would come out glorious. We need God to breathe in our day and time. You have a great weekend. We'll see you Monday right
here
on
Refresh. Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Have you ever looked at his nail-scarred hands? Have you ever